And welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, George Mulcahy is joined on Lifeline by Sharon Vard of Annam Cara, who offers services and support for those bereaved through the loss of a child. Johnny Holmes is joined on Northside today by Regional Faroaga Officer Brian Gavin about the recent Faroaga Conference in Sligo. And finally, Darren J. Pryor discusses International Women's Day with Doha CEO Suzanne Keating on global solidarity. But first, we hear from George Mulcahy on Lifeline. I should be joined on the phone by Sharon Vard, who is from Annam Cara. Sharon, good morning to you.
Good morning, George.
Good morning. Where are you based, Sharon?
The Annam Cara Central Office is based over in Talla in the Cooktown Industrial Estate, but we actually have 10 groups around the country, including North Dublin.
Great stuff. This morning we'll talk a little bit about the centre itself, but we've got a couple of exciting things happening. The launch of a book this month, and I know you're looking for people to take part in, well, women to take part in the mini marathon taking place in June. We'll talk about that later. But can you tell us a little bit about the history of Annam Cara and maybe some of the services that you provide for people there?
Okay, well, Annam Cara was founded back in 2008, George, and it was founded by a group of bereaved parents who recognised the lack of support and information that was available throughout Ireland for families after the death of a child. Now, I will talk about a child, but that includes all family, you know, all children, whether it's an older child, married themselves, you know, or a small baby. We would be an inclusive organisation. Mm-hmm. So we set up in 2008, and as I said, we currently have 10 groups throughout Ireland, including our group over in the north side, which meets at the Base Community Centre in Swords on the third Wednesday of every month.
Okay. How important are those services, Sharon, to those who need them and use them?
How important are those services? Mm-hmm. They're very important, George, because bereaved parents, they have, you know, after the death of your child, there is, you know, the family is just devastated. There are no, as I said, particularly for sudden deaths, there's no support system in place. So families whose maybe their son or daughter has died connected to a hospital or hospice, they have some support through that organisation. But for families whose child dies suddenly outside a hospital or hospital environment, often find themselves on their own.
For somebody, Sharon, who finds themselves in this god-awful position where they've lost a child, what's the first thing that they should do?
Well, I suppose our initial support will always come from our immediate family and friends, you know, and extended mm-hmm. family and friends. And that's important because, you know, people don't know what they want to help, and it's important that we let them help in whatever way they can. And then I suppose, you know, then you look to your community, you know, and you'll often find the schools and if people are members of churches and that, you know, they will also rally around them. So the community often will rally around a family as well. But I think, you know, down the road, one of the things we did in Annam Cara is that we have produced an information pack, and it's actually it's our latest leaflet that we're launching next Tuesday in Swords. But the information pack, George, would have 7-8 leaflets now, you know, information leaflets that cover things like, you know, my mum's grief, a dad's grief, yeah, you know, coping with the sudden death of my child. And I think it's very important that parents have information, and that's one of the things that we've set out as Annam Cara to do, is to address, is that shortfall of appropriate information that families need at probably the most devastating time in their lives.
I can't think of a more devastating thing to happen to a parent than to lose a child. How vital is it as well that they get in contact with people who've been through that experience?
Well, I think it's something that it's something very individual, and everybody will grieve differently. And even in a family, George, yeah, you know, the mom and dad will grieve differently. Although the siblings will grieve, because everyone's relationship is different with the person who's died, the little person who's died, or their loved one who's died. So, so for that reason, I think some people do seek out other bereaved parents. You know, I suppose I'm a bereaved mum myself, and for me, meeting with other bereaved mums and dads meant that I felt less alone. I also felt that I was understood, you know, because, you know, I thought I was losing my mind at times, and it was when I talked to another bereaved dad or as I said, a mother, you know, that I found that they were going through something very similar. And then meeting parents a little bit further on. So if you're just recently bereaved, you know, and you're in with that, within that first year, which is horrendous, and then you meet somebody who maybe second year or third year on, and you see that they're that little bit stronger and coping that little bit better, it just gives you some sense that you're going to get through the initial nightmare that is just terrifying.
You mentioned a few moments ago, Sharon, the launch of a leaflet in Swords, I do believe. Can you tell us about the leaflet itself and when and where the launch takes place?
Well, the launch will take place. What we're doing is we're launching to professionals, you know, and people in contact with bereaved parents. So that would include, you know, social workers, you know, counsellors in the area. And it, like, this is a huge resource for them if they're in contact, you know, with bereaved parents. Funeral directors would be another, you know, group of professionals who would be in contact with bereaved families all the time. So the leaflet that we're launching, George, you know, we had initially launched the pack with the 7 leaflets, but we recognise that, you know, for families who've maybe experienced the death of their only child or children, I mean, that in itself is another loss, you know. So what we've done is we've with families that are connected to Annam Cara throughout Ireland, we have developed a leaflet, and that's what we're launching on next Tuesday, that's the 21st, at the Carnegie Court Hotel. So if there's any professionals out there listening to your programme, we would really welcome them to come along to get copies of the pack, you know, because they can bring that back to their own practices or workplace, and also, you know, avail of this latest resource as well.
As well as that, there's an exciting event happening in June. It's the Women's Mini Marathon, and I know that you're looking for people to get involved to help raise funds. When does the marathon take place?
Okay, well, I suppose we do this every year, George, and it is a great gathering of supporters of Annam Cara, you know, including our mums connected to the different groups. But I suppose, you know, we offer all our services free of charge, and you know, and we're absolutely passionate on making sure that bereaved parents do not have to pay for any service that is connected to Annam Cara. So that's why we take part in this event. So it's, we're looking for anybody who wants to walk it or run it or jog it. You know, it really is it's a very powerful day, and I think, you know, anyone who's taken part for Annam Cara in the past, we have a little room put aside in Donaghy Nesbitt, so it's a great starting point, and it certainly is a great finishing point as well, you know, just to celebrate our achievements. But if there's anybody out there who's maybe trying to decide on what charity to do the mini marathon for, we'd hope they'd consider it.
And it's a great way of getting people together in a kind of a fun environment, if you get my drift.
Yeah, Annam Cara is very much about, you know, helping parents find their way through, you know, the awful nightmare of the death of your child, mm-hmm. and trying to adjust your life without this very special person in there. And, you know, and taking part in events like the mini marathon, and we do family days as well, you know, it is about, it's focusing on the living as well, because, you know, that's our child's legacy, is that we do our best to continue on and try to live our lives the best way we can, you know, while still carrying their memory and their and the love we shared with them, which we continue to share with them going forward.
Absolutely. The funds that you raise from this, Sharon, what will those funds mean to you?
Well, as I said before, George, at each of the Annam Cara groups, there is a professional, co-facilitator and a volunteer co-facilitator, and that makes sure that the parents who attend the Annam Cara meetings, they are supported, you know, appropriately. And if anybody needs any additional information, or maybe there's another family member they're concerned about, they can talk to our professional. We do pay them; they're on contract to Annam Cara, so that's what any funds raised from the mini marathon goes towards the cost of our professionals.
And for people who'd like to help don a wig, maybe have a shave like me, how can people get involved?
Well, I think they're kind of strict in the mini marathon. I think they do like to have, even though I always see the men, and sometimes you'd be more envious of their legs, you know what I mean, the better legs than I have, you know, running around the course. But
some of them make fine looking women. They do.
But no, in fairness, you know, people can, you know, I mean, even if you're not going to take part, if you're male and you can't take part in the mini marathon, you know, you could always sponsor, you know, one of the ladies, that we'd be delighted at that. And we do the other big fundraising event we have, which is usually October, November time, George, is the Annam Carr backpacks. We do a national backpack with Dun Stores. So that's another, you know, place that where people can always step forward and volunteer to help, and we're absolutely delighted.
Absolutely, and the men can turn up and be cheerleaders for the day.
They could indeed. They could indeed, which would be fantastic as well.
For people who'd like to get in contact with you, Sharon, have you got a phone number handy?
We actually have an information line, George. Which, again, if you have any listeners who know bereaved parents. Or a family who've been bereaved recently, maybe they'd get in contact and we can send out the information pack to them. And that number is 085-2888888. So, you know, you can send a text or call that number and there'll always be someone at the other end of the phone.
Can you remind people about the launch next week in the Carnegie Hall in Swords?
Yeah, so the launch is of our information pack and in particular our latest leaflet, which is Living On With No Surviving Children. So it's in particular for families who have experienced the death of their only child. And that's taking place next Tuesday, the 21st of March, at the Carnegie Court Hotel at 11 o'clock.
Just before we go, do you social media? Are you on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter?
We are. You'll find us at Annam Carr on Facebook, and then our Twitter account is Annam Carr at Annam Carr Support.
And before we go, how many people have you been able to help so far, Sharon? Have you got figures?
Would you believe, George, that since we have launched in 2008, which is just 9 years ago now. We have supported over 8,000 parents, you know, at various events throughout the country. On average, we run about 110 events every year between, you know, on the island of Ireland, and it's great to know that, you know, prior to 2008 there was no dedicated support for bereaved parents. Now there is, you know what I mean, and there's information, you know, people just need to get in touch with us.
That's incredible. And and again, just to reiterate that even though you're based in Dublin, you're not just Dublin based.
No, we have two groups in Dublin and on the north side and in the base community centre in Swords, and we have another one here in Talla, but we also have 8 other groups around the country as well.
Oh, that's incredible. Do you hope to expand further?
We found what we're doing, George, in some areas we're partnering up with other organisations, which is, it's just been clever, you know, use of our resources and our funding. So down in Limerick now we partner with an organisation called Milford, and it's fantastic because, you know, Milford also support bereaved parents, and it's great that we can work together. And we're also working with the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice to provide support to parents on the border counties and in Northern Ireland. So I just think, you know, that's probably the way forward, that where we can, we will find a partner organisation to work with, because that just means that you can actually be twice as strong.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, Sharon, thanks a million for talking to us this morning.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity, George.
Absolutely.
Very much appreciate
it. Anything else that's happening, just give us a shout and we'll have a chat. Or an
atter,
as they call it. Great stuff. And the best of luck with the launch, and the very best of luck with the mini marathon. I hope it raises a few bob for you, because I know it'll be well spent.
So
well
much.
Done. Great stuff, Sharon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I was joined there by Sharon Vard from Annam Carr. And that was George Mulcahy on Lifeline. Next up, it's Johnny Holmes on Northside Today.
Now I'm joined on the telephone, on the line, by Brian Gavin. He's the regional Veroica officer, and 5 volunteers representing North County Dublin. They headed to the National Veroica Conference in Sligo. So, Brian, can you hear me? You're with us?
I can indeed, yes. Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Hope you're keeping well yourself. So, these 5 volunteers, can you tell me who they are and how it went and what came out of it?
We had 5 representing our North Dublin region who were part of about 250 in total that was at our annual conference 2 weekends ago. We had Fran from the Balbriggan region, Lisa from the North Inner City, Danny and Des from Donabate, and we had Rachel from Raheny. So they were just a small grouping of the volunteers that are involved with us in the kind of north of Dublin region. Yeah.
Oh, I see, Brian. And how were these individuals selected above others, or did they actually volunteer to go in the conference?
They volunteered themselves to go to it. So it's an annual conference that we have every year, and we throw it out there to all of our volunteers. We've over 6,000 volunteers nationally, so the places are limited. But so we throw it out to see who's interested in going, and it's up to themselves then whether they want to go or not. So great weekend though, and they get a lot from it. So I think it's increasing in popularity actually year on year. So we actually had to turn people away this year, which is bad for them, but I suppose it's a good sign that people want to go.
I see. Okay. And what exactly came out of the conference this year in 2017?
So this year's conference was, we have a theme every year, and this year's conference, the theme was volunteers working on the front line. So it was looking at, I suppose, the issues and the kind of the work practices that our volunteers have directly working with young people. We had Professor John Davis from the University of Edinburgh as our keynote speaker, and he was explaining to the volunteers how the benefits of volunteering and what volunteering can give to you as a person. So the benefits for volunteers are pretty wide ranging, I suppose, and the most interesting one is that anybody involved in volunteering tends to live longer. So that was great news for all of those that were sitting in there to listening to them.
Absolutely.
And I suppose the connection to community and the feeling of being able to give something, and it's also a great way to reduce stress. So, you know, the very positive outcomes that he was explaining. I suppose we had done our own bit of questionnaire research in advance of the conference as well, and we got feedback from 500 of our volunteers just in relation to it, and they echoed exactly what he was saying in terms of that strong connection to something, to community, the feeling of being able to do something valuable with your time, and the other wide-ranging benefits that people do get from volunteering. And particularly with young people, I suppose it does kind of keep you young and keep you connected to things. So, and on your toes a little bit. So it's very positive altogether. And the conference is also a great way for them to exchange ideas, and they get involved in different types of workshops that they can sign up for in advance of the conference. So very busy 3 days, but very worthwhile. Everyone is buzzing after a very positive atmosphere.
Yeah, I have to say, fair play to them. It's a very big commitment to be a volunteer with Veroica. And at the conference, the workshops, tell us about the workshops, what was involved.
So the workshops are, they could get involved in two workshops. So we had kind of very practical ones from stuff that they can do when they go back into their own clubs. So we had games workshops, we had a workshop looking at mental health issues, particularly around young people. We had well-being, health and well-being workshops. We had arts and crafts workshops, and very practical types that they can go in. They can find out new things maybe that they could bring back then and do in their groups, in their clubs. So the most popular ones were the games, the well-being, and the arts and crafts, because I suppose they find that these are quite, you know, hands-on, practical, and they're transferable then back into their clubs. So they enjoyed those.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful thing for the youth of this country as well. And with all the hard work that the volunteers are putting into it, it's very, very good, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're great. And we Veroica as an organisation just celebrated our 65th anniversary there on Tuesday. So we're around quite a while. But the thing about that is also that we realise that the needs of young people have not necessarily changed that much in that space of time, and the work that we're doing today is as relevant as it was 65 years ago with young people. So they're still getting, you know, the kind of core values from it and the skills that they need for future life. So it's great.
Absolutely, Brian. Tell us, what's the biggest benefit that they gain from volunteering? The actual volunteers themselves.
Well, the biggest benefit for them is, I suppose, that feeling of the feeling they get from being able to give their time in a positive way, and that connection to something, so the connection to community and a sense of belonging, that seems to be the biggest benefit that they get. So whether it's a connection to their own local community or whether it's a sense of feeling part of something, I think people like to feel that they are part of a group or part of something bigger. And I suppose that's very evident then when you bring people from all over the country together in one place for a weekend. They all have something in common straight away. The camaraderie that's built up over that weekend, and the connections and the friendships that are created, because everybody is a volunteer with Foirgea, but one person could be in Donegal, one person could be in Dublin, Cork, wherever, but they all have something in common, and that was really, really evident at the conference, and it is every year at the conference. And you can see then that people, they may not see each other for a year, and they come back to the conference every year, and they just pick up where they left off. So I think that is a huge benefit to people, and they do like that sense of feeling part of something.
Yeah, and I guess another benefit is they actually feel very good about themselves for the good that they have done for others.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, we couldn't operate as an organisation without the volunteers. And I suppose, you know, my job is to support volunteers in the North Dublin region. And, you know, if I felt that a volunteer wasn't getting something positive from their involvement, then, you know, that means that I need to do something for them to make sure that they are getting the best out of the opportunity, and that they feel that they are getting something from it. And in the main, I think people do, as I said, working with young people isn't without its challenges, but I think 90% of the time it's fun, and people just leave with a bit of a pep in their step after they spend the time with them. So they do feel that they are also getting something from it, as well as being able to give something very positive to the young people that they're working with.
Well, Brian, I think we should finish up. It was wonderful to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Before
we tidy up, is there a national Foirgea website that you want to give us?
Yes, just foirgea.ie will bring you to everything that we do. It'll give you a snapshot of everything that the organisation does. And if there's anybody listening that might be interested in either getting, you know, a young person involved in a local club, or want to find out about volunteering themselves, we'd love to hear from them. There's an area on that volunteer inquiry part on the website, but foirgea.ie will get you to all of that.
Okay, and I've no doubt you have a Facebook page as well and a Twitter account.
We do indeed, yeah. Anything social media, we're on it. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of those sort of things. But yeah, so you'll get us anywhere. And we're easily contactable. So if anyone does want to get in touch, do so in any of those ways.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian, for joining us. It was a pleasure having you. And hopefully we can talk again sometime, and have a great weekend.
And that was Johnny Holmes on Northside Today. Finally today, on this week's edition of Encore, we're joined by Darren J. Pryor from Global Solidarity.
Darren J. Pryor from Global Solidarity went to the DOCUS headquarters on Wednesday, International Women's Day, and spoke to the DOCUS CEO Suzanne Keating about International Women's Day and the launch of Coalition 2030. And this is what Suzanne had to say.
And now I'm talking to Suzanne Keating, the CEO of DOCUS. Suzanne, how's it going? Suzanne, I met you at the commemoration for Joe Cox MP last June when you were only a few months in the job as head of DOCUS. Could you update us as to how you are finding the job now that you are about a year in the job, I think?
Great. No, thanks, Darren, and thanks for welcoming me here today for the show. Yeah, it's extraordinary to think it's a year since I took over as the CEO of DOCUS. It's been a tremendous learning curve, but also a massive opportunity. I suppose I've got to know many of our members that are working on international development. There are huge challenges out there, but also the kind of work that they're doing is hugely inspiring and energising. So I've been having a great time.
Yeah, I interviewed Han Zomer and Fiona Coyle when they were at DOCUS. I interviewed them a good few times over the last few years. Could you just give us an overview of your professional background, please, just so our listeners know?
Yeah, I've probably been working in this sector for about 20 years. I actually kind of spent a lot of my time growing up in Africa, so it was a natural place for me to be. I spent the first 5 years working in Somalia, or on Somalia, both for the United Nations and the European Commission. I then came back to Ireland and started with TROCRA for about 10 years, working both in the Middle East and then more recently in Asia as the regional manager. I then worked briefly for Plan before coming here to Docus.
That's great. So you have a lot of experience anyway. Today is International Women's Day. Could you give us an overview of how today is celebrated in the international development community every year, please?
Yeah, no, and it's a great day for us. In fact, I've just had a breakfast meeting with kind of women CEOs in our sector. We just came today, we gathered informally today to say, you know, what inspires us and what do we want to do more in the sector to encourage women's leadership and equality in the sector. So it's a great start to the day. I know there are many events going on throughout Dublin today to celebrate it. But really, for me, it is just about being able to sit back and say, you know, the fight isn't over around gender equality, and we really need to keep the pressure up. We need to have solidarity amongst ourselves so that we can contribute fully to this fight, if you like, for gender equality.
Yeah, I know it's celebrated hugely, International Women's Day, around the world every year, and the international development community have a big focus on it every year. As we're saying, today is International Women's Day, but there was also another big event in the international development calendar last week, wasn't there? That is with the launch of Coalition 2030. Could you tell us what is the purpose of Coalition 2030? And could you tell me what people or organisations the coalition is made up from?
Yeah, great. Yeah, so we had an official launch at the Mansion House last Wednesday. The coalition, basically, the Sustainable Development Goals were signed in September 2015. So all the governments signed up to this, including Ireland. And a lot of NGOs were obviously very involved in that. They were involved in the consultation to get the goals right, etc. And so when it was signed, we were saying, right, what next? How do we keep up that momentum so that we can all work together to deliver on what is a very, very transformative and ambitious change agenda? So Coalition is 2030 is about international NGOs, domestic NGOs, the environmentalists. We've got academics on board. We've got the trade unions on board saying, come on, we need to do things differently. We need to break out of our silos and really come together to make sure that this agenda does change things for those that really are the most vulnerable in our societies.
You and Docus and Coalition 2030 want to see these goals, the Sustainable Development Goals, achieved. What are you calling on the Irish government to do in relation to the SDGs?
We've got three very clear goals. I mean, the first thing to say is that Ireland really has championed these sustainable development goals already. We've shown huge leadership, both in kind of our president, Michael D. Higgins, championing these goals. We had the Irish ambassador to the UN, David Donoghue, was absolutely critical to their negotiations. So I suppose our first ask of the coalition is we want to see that leadership continue. And that demands here in Ireland having a whole of government approach such that, you know, we want to see a Sustainable Development Goal action plan. And that's not about kind of new things. It's about bringing all the things that the government are already doing on poverty, on climate change, on international development, bring it together to saying, you know, what does this look like as a kind of concerted plan over the next 15 years? The second thing we're calling on is for an inclusive monitoring forum. So we need a plan first, but then we need to monitor it. And that's about having civil society on board, but also all the kind of stakeholders to say, what are we doing well? Where do we need to support some kind of urgency around the gaps so that we can really make this happen? Last but not least, and very importantly here, this is about financing for development. We know that the Sustainable Development Goals are very ambitious, but if we do it, we can make a difference. But it isn't about business as usual. We need to get more financing so that we can make a change for the most vulnerable.
Okay, Sam, thanks very much. Great talking again for the first time in about a year or 9 months. I'll be talking again. Thanks very much.
Great, Darren. Look forward to chatting again. Thanks.
And that was this week's edition of Encore. Encore will be back next Sunday from 4 to 4:30 p.m. here on Near FM. Bye-bye.